Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf tes. We're holding Ches Amid Beis, the final line at the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara asks Meisavei. Now, what is this referring to? So let's just recap briefly the last part of yesterday's daf. We started off the Mishnah, a noisim noshim amoyed. A person is not allowed to get married on a chol amoyed. Not with psulos, not almonos, no yibum. He can only be machzig rishosai. Why can't a person go and get married on chol amoyed? Says the Gemara, v'chisimcha hiloi may have it. It's true that that's a major simcha, but doesn't that just enhance the simcha of the yomtiv? If anything, I should think everybody should get married on chol amoyed. It would go make more simcha. What's the problem? And the Gemara gave four answers. First answer the Gemara gave was lefisha ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. We don't want to mix two simchas together. Why? What's the problem? So Tosfos says you don't want to make mitzvos chavilos chavilos. You don't want to say, okay, let's do it. Let's get it over with. I got to do a simcha of chol amoyed. I got to do a simcha of yom tov. If we can combine the two, that'll make my life easier. I don't have to worry about two simchas. You know, let's get it over with.
Economy of scale.
Economy of scale. Fine. So that's pshat number one. Pshat number two is similar. And that is because it says in the pasuk, "V'samachta bechagecha, bechagecha veloy beishtecha." Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it when it comes the yomtiv of Sukkot, or for that matter of Pesach, Shavuos doesn't have a chol amoyed. But the point is, we want that the simcha should be a pure simcha because of the simchas haregel. This is an opportunity for each Jew to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's on Pesach, the Chag HaGeula, when we became freed, whether it's on Shavuos, that's Matan Torah, which we're going to celebrate tomorrow as well, Matan Torah, as well when it comes Sukkot, that's the Tzilut Hemnusa, we get close to Rabbeinu Shloilem. There's a special time, three times a year, Sholosh Pam Bashana, Yiroa Kol Zechur Ches Pnei Hashem Lekecha. I once heard from Rav Gifter Zatzal, from the Tel Zer Rosh Yeshiva. He spoke very briefly, it was after davening, they asked him to say Avort, so he said, okay, Sholosh Pam Bashana, three times a year, Yiroa Kol Zechur Ches Pnei Hashem Lekecha. He said, those three times a year, a person has an opportunity to elevate his soul, to elevate his neshama, to come closer to the Rabbeinu Shloim. He says, at the end of Yom Tov, one should be able to go and see gekritz. Gekritz means engraved on the faces of all Yidden that they were mekabel during this Yom Tov as Pnei Hashem Lekecha. He said the word b'shem, the Heilig Chasam Sofer. Sholosh Pam Bashana, three times a year, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you that opportunity, that Yeroa El Kol Zechurcha, that your face should shine, your face should go and be with so imbued with so much kedusha and so much his'alus elevation throughout Yom Tov, that one should be able to go and say, Yiroa Kol Zechur Ches Pnei Hashem Lekecha, I see that you in fact took in yourself, you imbued yourself, you immersed yourself in so much Torah and so much Yom Tov and so much Simcha that you were Royas Pnei Hashem Lekecha. And therefore, if you're going to go marry your wife, that's going to divert some of your attention, if not all of your attention, from having the Simchas Yom Tov. So that's similar to the previous pshat. Don't mix the two smachais, simchais. Only difference is that the second pshat only applies to the simcha of getting married, and the first one would be any type of simcha. The simcha of Yom Tov should be pure, shouldn't be mixed with another simcha.
Why do we allow Shulah Brachas on Chol Amoed then?
That's, we're going to deal with that in Miyat Hashem in another minute. I'm so happy that you raised that question, because that's going to be the Gemara's question. But I couldn't get to the question before we do the Hakdama, the Chazar. Good. So that was number two. Number three said, Ulet Mepnei HaToyrach. Toyrach means that any of you who ever have made chasana or yourselves gotten married, you know that there's a fair amount of preparations that are involved, and it's very hard to, you know, the headaches and heartaches and all the rest, who's coming, who's not coming, and they're calling the caterer and the musician and the mechitza man and the florist and you name it, the photographer, all those wonderful things. So it's a big tircha. So leave that tircha for another time of the year, not during Chol Amoed. And Yitzchak Nafcha says, when they bittul peri v'rivya. What's a bittul peri v'rivya? So Rashi says, it's expensive to make chasanas, as we all know. During Chol Amoed and during Yom Tov anyway, you have to make major sudais for your family and friends, etc. So this would be a good opportunity to, what's the expression, to kill two birds with one stone. I have to go and make a big suda for chasana. I have to make a big suda anyway for Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. Let's combine the two and I'll save myself a few dollars. What's going to happen as a result is nobody's going to get married throughout the year except in Chol HaMoed. So it's going to be a bittul peri berivya, which is not desirable. So we had the four reasons. Simcha, Toirach, and bittul peri berivya. Freitimor meisvei. Now we're going to get to Barry's question. Kol elu she'amru asun lisa b'moyed mutaren lisa erev regel. Even though you're not allowed to get married in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to get married erev Yom Tov. So frank dimara kasha l'kulu. According to all four reasons, I have a problem. What's the problem? The first two reasons, which are both related to Simcha, I'm going to have sheva brachas throughout Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed. Isn't that going to detract from the Simchas HaRegel? The fact that I'm going to have the Simcha of the Sheva Brachas. Number three, regarding the Torah, is a Torah with Sheva Brachas too. Particularly today, some people make a Sheva Brachas which is second only to the Chasana. And it also involves all the preparations and the cooking and the invitations and the musicians, and sometimes you have to hire a Batchan and sometimes a Joker and sometimes this, that, the other thing. Also a lot of headaches. And it prepared for review the same thing, that how do we allow a person to go and get married on Erev HaRegel if he knows, oh, they're going to be Sheva Brachas during the Chol HaMoed week, that's an opportune time to go and get married on Erev Yom Tov, because I'll save myself some all the Sheva Brachas meals. I have to serve sudas anyway on Chol HaMoed. So L'chayra is a shver. Why do we say you're allowed to get married on Erev HaRegel, just like you cannot get married during Chol HaMoed? L'chayra, the same reasons apply not to get, thank you very much. The same reasons would apply not to get married on Erev Yom Tov. In other words, the first two that holds out Simcha. There's no question about it that during the whole Sheva Brachos week, the Chos and Kala are very happy. But the degree of happiness is nothing compared to that first day, to the time of the chasen itself. So the Sheva Brachos are good. In fact, by the time he gets to the seventh Sheva Brachos, sometimes the chusen kala say, you know, we could use a vacation. But the point is that the real, real simcha is the chasen a day. That you cannot do during Chol HaMoed. If you get married on Erev Yom Tov, you can have Sheva Brachos during the week. This Nishazah Grace is Simcha. It's only a second, third degree Simcha. That's Teretz number one.
Make a bris also.
Bris part of the choice.
Right.
Yeah, so the father bank, the Suda's bris, please, you look at the choices down below. Chesam Advez, the final choices, talks about a Suda's bris and a Suda's Pidyon HaBen. And other sudas, whether you're allowed to, not allowed to, please take a look at that toys after the shir. That's for homework.
Yes,
continuing on, that's out the simcha reason. Yes, there is about a tircha involved in preparing the sheva brachas, but the real, real, because we know the real, real tircha is for the chasana. That's when you have so many guests and a beautiful hall and the catered. But sheva brachas, of course, is typically a much more modest affair. So the tircha would not apply. L'madiyam mishabit l'per v'rivya l'chad yoyim aloy mashi inish nafshe. What does the Gemara mean with that? The Gemara means to say is, l'gabi chol hamoyed, I'm concerned that people shouldn't say, let's go and push off the chasen until chol hamoyed, then we'll have the benefit of being able to pay one meal for both Yom Tov and chol hamoyed, as well as one meal for the pinyan, for the chasana. It'll coincide. I'll save myself a few dollars, and I'm going to therefore postpone the chasana until Chol HaMoed, instead of making the chasana shortly after Sukkot or during Hanukkah. We're going to push it all the way off till Chol HaMoed Pesach, or vice versa. So that was the concern. What about making the chasana on Erev Yom Tov? So says our Gemara, l'chad yom l'mashi inish nafshei. A person is concerned about scheduling a chasana for Erev Yom Tov, because at the last minute there could be all types of snafus vis-a-vis making a chasana on Erev Yom Tov. Person gets busy, the caterer calls up the last minute, sorry, I didn't realize, I couldn't, I shouldn't, and the guests say, we're still busy getting together our b'minim, or I still have to buy my matzis. It's a very busy time. And therefore, people will typically not schedule a chasana for Erev Yom Tov, knowing that it's only going to cause lots of headaches and lots of problems. However, if you schedule for Chol HaMoed, worse comes to worse, if it doesn't happen on first day Chol HaMoed, you'll push it off to the second day Chol HaMoed, and not the second day, and the third day Chol HaMoed, and not the third day, the fourth day Chol HaMoed. So therefore, there is a real concern that you might postpone the Chasan until Chol HaMoed, knowing that you have several options and substitute days in case there's a snafu with the first day. However, with the Erev Yom Tov, there we're not scared that person is going to go and schedule for Erev Yom Tov. Why not? Explains Rashi, because if you don't make it for Erev Yom Tov, I'm going to have to wait a whole week, and I won't be able to do it until after Yom Tov. People don't want that type of delay. See, if you look at Rashi, the second wide line, all the way at the top, L'chad Yom L'mashi, in she claim it, Kimon She'ini Yochel L'haskel El Be'er V'Regel, if you're telling me I can't do the chasana on Chol HaMoed, I can only do it in Erev Yom Tov, Ein Mamtin Not a Regel, then people are not going to push off the chasana until Yom Tov. The Dilma Misra, I'm sorry?
Until Erev Yom Tov.
Until Erev Yom Tov, exactly. The Dilma Misrami Milza, because something will arise, Dolei Matzi Maschel Erev a Regel, Dolei Maschel Chol a Regel, and then they'll be pushed off the entire Yom Tov. So therefore, what our Gemara is saying is, you could go and schedule a chasan and erev regel. I don't have to worry that a person is going to schedule it 6 months from now to make sure it's going to be an erev yom tiv. People are concerned that I'm going to schedule for erev yom tiv. There's going to be some type of mishap, a glitch. Oh, very good word. Very good
word.
There's going to be a glitch. There's going to be a mishap. There's going to be a snafu. There's going to be an incident. Whatever. He won't be able to make it on Erev Yom Tov. Therefore, they didn't have to be goyzer. However, they did have to be goyzer. Don't make it on Chol HaMoed, because since Chol HaMoed, you typically have 4 or 5 days, Yisrael, more, etc., then a person will push it off to Chol HaMoed, and then you'll have the Bittul Peria Verivia.
Well, how do you translate Bittul Peria Verivia?
Periviruvia means procreation. Bittul means to go and annul, refrain from engaging in marital relations with one's wife, because one is not married. So you don't want to push off the opportunity for husband and wife to get married. You don't want to incentivize them to go and push off the chasana. And if you're able to go and make a chasana during Chol HaMoed and use the same meals for both Yom Tov and for the wedding, that would incentivize a lot of people financially to push off the wedding. And husband and wife should get married as quickly as they can within the normal parameters. Don't push it off.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. And we continue on. Zokti Maravait Udein. We're up to the fifth line for the top of the Amud. Udein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha Minolan. We said so definitively, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Where did we take that from? Zokti Maravit Zapasek Tichsiv. This pasuk is talking about the completion of the building, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, and now we're dedicating and inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash for the first time. When did they finish the construction? Just a few days before Yom Kippur. A few days after Rosh Hashanah.
Oh yeah, they suspended.
We're going to talk about that suspension. The suspension suspended alternate side parking as well. That was the tremendous simcha that they had, especially for car drivers in the West Side. Anyway, the point is that Shlomo Melech says, "Okay, Rabbi, we are now going to celebrate the construction of the Beis Hamikdash." When did the celebration begin? On the eighth day of Tishrei, and it lasted for 7 days. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 7 days of Tishrei. Right after the 7 days of celebration ended for the Beis HaMikdash, they began the 7 and ultimately the 8 days of celebrating Sukkot and then Shmini Atzeres. And therefore what it says in our Pasuk is, V'yash lo v'eisa hi es ha-chag. He made the Chag, the big, big celebration. It wasn't just Shlomo HaMelech. Everybody in Klal Yisrael was so happy. You had a kol gadol m'levoy chamos, all the way from levoy chamos, anach mitzrayim. They all came with Hashem alikeinu, shivas yom, they celebrated 7 days, the Beis HaMikdash, v'shivas yom, the 7 days of Sukkot. We're going to talk about the 8th day a little bit later. Arbo asayoyim, all together 14 days. Now says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech could have saved a lot of money by combining the two. And he would say to Baisai, we finished the construction of the Beis HaMikdash on day 7 of Tishrei, and a week from now everybody's going to be Oyle Regel for Sukkot. We're going to combine the Sukkot festivities with the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash festivities, and we'll save a lot of trouble, time, effort, money, etc. Vim Isa, the Ma'avin Simcha Basimcha, I boy Leila Minter, Arachag, Umevit Shiva Lahacha, Ulahacha, do 7 for this and 7 for that. Now you're going to say to myself, why now? Why shouldn't he have 7 special days? After all, this is a once in a lifetime affair, occurrence that you celebrate the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? Why should he, Shlomo Melech Dafka, have put the two together to coincide? So says the top choices, after all, we all need to make parnasa. That being the case, you're telling people 2 weeks in a row, nobody's going to go to their offices, nobody's going to do work in the fields, and that's going to be a big problem for parnasa. Wouldn't it be far more practical to have the 2 weeks coincide anyway, since it's only a week before Sukkot anyway? We're not talking about he's delaying it for 3 months. The construction only ended on the 7th day of Tishrei. Shoyin? So let's go and combine the two together as one. It's the charaya that you're not ma'arv simcha ma'simcha, and that's the raya for Shlomo Melech. Frey Timura. The Dilma Mintolate Matrina, the Hechad Yisrami of Dinan. In other words, I can understand you don't wait. Since the 7th of Tishrei, everything was completed. And now the 8th day of Tishrei, we're able to go and celebrate. Don't wait a moment, celebrate immediately. Yeah, I understand that. However, the Hechad Yisrami of Dinan, but perhaps in a case where the two do coincide on their own, maybe you would allow it. In other words, what the Gemara is really asking is like a l'chadchila b'dievet type of question. L'chadchila, don't push it off. And go and, in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, in the case of Shlomo Melech, avada nevada, Shlomo Melech did the right thing, he needs my approval, that a week before Sukkot was finished, you go and make the simcha, and you're not ma'arif simcha b'simcha. What would have happened, for instance, if the construction of the Beis HaMikdash would have ended on Yud Dalid, on Erev HaRegel? Maybe Shlomo Melech would say, yeah, let's have the two coincide, no problem. I wouldn't schedule it for that day, but let them coincide.
How could he not? Because then he'd be Mevatel using the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, so just a little patience. So that's vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash. And then the same thing would apply also to Chasana. If a person, in fact, has the young couple is engaged 3 months before, don't wait until Simchas HaRegel. Agreed. But what happens if they get engaged 2 weeks before? Maybe, and then assuming that they have all of their gowns and all of their caterers and everything lined up, maybe you could make it on Regel. Who says that you can't? They only have a rai from Shlomo Melech that if Baruch Hashem, the Simcha is ready earlier, then you do them separately. But maybe if it does coincide, you can do it. Who says you can't? But don't mentally in the tree and don't wait. But if it were to turn out in such a like a b'dievet situation where the engagement was 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, and this is the perfect time because the mechutanim are here and everybody's ready, and enough, maybe you could do it on Chol HaMoed after all. So tomorrow, Iboilevi Shiurei Porta. Going back to Shlomo Melech, if you're telling me that Shlomo Melech, if it would have coincided, then Shlomo Melech would have said, sure, that's great, we don't have to have a separate celebration. And in fact, there is no din of being ma'arif simcha b'simcha. If that's the case, then Iboilevi Shiurei Porta. Then maybe he should have left over one little something. In other words, on Zion Tishrei, although 99% of everything was ready, he should have told the construction workers, you know what, take off a few days, come back on Yud Dalid, you're going to finish off that final little turning of Makir HaPatish, good, banging of the nails, turning of the screws, putting on the last hinges, whatever, you'll take care of that on Yud Dalid, and that's when we'll make the celebration. And therefore, they would now coincide. So go and leave over the Beis HaMikdash, even for an extra day, we don't want to do that. What's the reason why? Like Barry said a moment ago, because if it's time, if the Mizbeach is ready and the Karbonis are ready to be brought, then don't delay. Bring them immediately. Says Yimara, okay, I can understand not delaying the Binyan Beis HaMikdash because we want to start the Karbonis, we want to start everything into action. but he boyle the shiurai, but he could have left over the chayra the amakalia oirev. What says the amakalia oirev? So they all mean the same thing. The only question is the construction. Amakalia oirev means that the ravens or the crows used to love to sit on roofs of various buildings, and we were concerned that the oirevim would also. That these ravens, they would see the beautiful Beis Hamikdash, they would really be raving about it. Where's Shelley? They would be raving about the Beis Hamikdash's new construction, and they're going to sit themselves on top. It'd probably be very nice and sunny and all the rest. So they had to go and do something to scare them away or push them away. So the way Rashi and typically all Rishonim learn is that they built on the top some masmerim,
spikes.
Oh! See, you look at the Rashi, Amakalya Oyrev, about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amid, Amakalya Oyrev, Hagag, Kola Umekatsu, Lamala Adka Amma. The way they constructed the Gag was that they left over an Amma at the end, in the front, on the side, whatever, of the roof, Umechapen Uysay Shom, and they would go and fill it up on top of that Amma of the roof, Bebarzel, with iron, Ummasmeirim, and with nails. Like spikes. So the Arvim shouldn't stay there. Zel lechashiv kibinyan. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosis elsewhere, in either Shabbos or in Erchin, says a different shot that we're talking about what we call today a scarecrow. That you go and put up a scarecrow, that's a face of a farmer or whatever, and you...
Owl.
An owl? Oh, it's not an owl. And you put it on top of the roof, and that scares away all of the Arvim. So what's the point? The point is that L'chayre is not a significant part of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. It certainly wouldn't interfere with bringing the Kabbonis and starting the whole works going in the Beis Hamikdash. And leave that until Yud Dalet Tishrei, until Erev Yom Tov, and now say, okay, we put up the Kalya Oyrev, now we're done. Let's go ahead and celebrate the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, maybe you would be able to be Ma'arv Simcha B'Simcha. The fact that Shlomo HaMelech postponed that, and I'm sorry, postpone it, and did everything together, is a chasim and emar v'simcha b'simcha. Says Yomar, you still don't have a right, because even Alma Kalya Oyrev is also tzorich binyan habayisu, and it would be a mizoyin to leave over anything and say, okay, we're going to leave it over for a few days, and then we're going to start the simcha on a few days. Here, our Gemaras don't have it, and some of the newer Gemaras, they have a Rashi Ksav Yad, which is a new manuscript that they found a number of years ago, and the people that found the manuscript say that that's the real Rashi, and the Rashi that we have is not.
Our scrolls.
It does have it. Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So, that Rashi, Ksav Yad, gives two reasons why you couldn't even leave over the Amma Kalya Oyrev. Reason number one, he says it would be a deception. In other words, everybody knows that the whole Beis Hamikdash was finished, and they just needed to put those nails up or the scarecrow. They could have done that on Zion Tishrei. The fact that they waited until Yudalit Tishrei, everybody would know, we know why we're doing it, to be able to go and not have to make a separate celebration, but the celebration should coincide. So it would be, number one, a haroma. And number two, says the Rashi Ksav Yad, it would be a gnai. A gnai that the Beis Hamikdash is finished, don't go and make tricks and say, you know what, Rabbi Isai, we're going to celebrate in a week from now, and so we shouldn't say that it's fully constructed, and therefore, why are we waiting? It's not fully constructed.
It's a technicality that's transparently false.
Exactly. So, based on that, says our Gemara, you were Mashal Minyan?
Yes, three of us.
Oh, thank you very much. Very, very kind of you. Very gracious. So you really did the Hatzalah this morning, Nandi. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So, Vayter, we still don't have a clear-cut Rai that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Perhaps, if in fact the two coincide, the two being Yontif and a Simcha like the Simcha of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, or in our times, the Simcha of a Nisuan, maybe in fact he would allow for the two to coincide and then have it. The only reason why by Shlomo Melech is because it didn't coincide. It was all finished a week earlier. But had it been finished only at the final moment, right before Yom Tov, maybe Shlomo Melech would have allowed both of those simchas to coincide with one another. So we don't have a raya to us in case someone's ready to get married on Chol HaMoed and everything is ready. No, let's get married. Why should we wait until after Yom Tov? So that's the Gemara's question. Ella says the Gemara, we're on the fifth of the wide lines. Min miyat ekra. The reason why, if you want to go down, I have the keys here. Because I have a riba in the pasuk. It has nothing to do with the technical celebrations of Shlomo HaMelech as much as the extra wording in the pasuk. Most of us are competent enough to know that 7 plus 7 is
14.
14. You see? I'm sure everybody agrees. So since the pasuk ends off, why does it have to split it up? Shivas yom and shivas yom. Of course, 7 days and 7 days are 14 days. Shema mina hani lechud v'hani lechud. It comes to tell you that in fact these are two separate units of simcha. There's one unit of 7 days vis-a-vis the simcha space of mikdash. There's another unit of 7 days vis-a-vis sukkis. And the, never the twain shall meet. These do not coincide. So that's coming to tell you eim arm simcha b'simcha. Omer Parnach, Omer Yochanan, Oise Shalom Yosu Yisrael, and Yom Kippur. Or Yudayagim, Yomim Shem Neschai, the Sennein Shal Yisrael, Kalaya. Since we made our cheshbon of the 7 days, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 7 days in Tishrei, 7 days in Tishrei, 8, 9, 10, 10 of 10th of Tishrei, we all know is Yom Kippur. That means they celebrated Vayash Loim Be'esahi as a chag. He made a celebration for 14 days, 7 plus 7. That means at Yom Kippur they celebrated, which means they didn't fast. They ate and they drank. And as you can well imagine, everybody was noivis. But Yudayag and the Oimrim, and they said, Shem Neschai V'Senein She'Yisrael Kloya. The word Senein She'Yisrael, of course, is used euphemistically. They meant that Chas V'Shalom, we, Kloya Yisrael, Cholila, we were all over on the din of Yom Kippur. Yotzebaskov Yomalaham, Kulchem Zuman Chai El Mabo. In other words, Mochalach, you have nothing to worry about. This was a real, genuine simcha, and everything is great. Now, why did they do that initially? I mean, it's all nice that after the fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends down a baskel, and everything is great. But how do you have the right to go and eliminate and forget about Yom Kippur? So, tomorrow, my droish, omr, kalvachim, umadach mishkan, shen kiddushos, shen kiddushos, oilom, vikar b'yachad doichas Shabbos, this is skilo. Back in the times of the Mishkan, in the Torah. We know that the Mishkan is of a lesser degree of Kedusha than the Beis HaMikdash. Ein Kedushas HaKedusha Soilam. Meaning that after the Mishkan ended, after that there was Heter HaBamas. You could continue bringing Karbanos. As opposed to the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash, which is forever, meaning that after the Chorm Beis HaMikdash, we're not allowed to bring Karbanos anymore. So that means that it's Kedusha Soilam. So the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is greater. Number two, at the times of the Mishkan, Karbin Yochid Doicha Shabbos. Where do we find Karbin Yochid Doicha Shabbos? The Gemara. What would you like to say?
Pesach.
We're talking about on the Karbin Yochid Doicha Shabbos. What was the Karbin Yochid Doicha Shabbos? They started the first day of Nisan, bringing all the Karbanis, and in particular the Nisim. And that's why we line the Nusi here and in many other shuls. And those places they don't line it. At least they are supposed to read it from the Sidurim or the Chumashim. Anyway, what's the din over there? Every time, starting from the first day through the 12th day of Nisan, each one of the Nisim brought their Kabbalists, and that was the Karbon Yochid. And the 7th day of Nisan was on Shabbos, and it says, B'yoy Mashvi, Hikriv, or whichever one of the Nisim brought that day. So that being the case, that was the Karbon Yochid. That wasn't Klai Yisrael, there was a Nasi, a Yochid. And he brought it on Shabbos. Shabbos Isser Skilim. So now let's get back to the Beis HaMikdash. Mikdash Kedushas HaKedushas HaOilam, like we said before, because after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, no more Karbanis. Ve'Karban Tzibur, we're talking about the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. Everybody brought Karbanis those days. How do I know? Says Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk, Yashloim HaBeisahi HaSachag, V'Chol Yisrael Imai. Everybody joined Shlomo HaMelech. So just like Shlomo HaMelech brought the Karbanis, I mean, not he himself personally, but the Beis HaMikdash was open and people started bringing Karbanis, and Chai Yisrael brought Karbanis. So therefore the Gemara calls it like a Karban Tzibur, because everybody participated in those Karbanis. The Yom HaKippurim V'Anishkaris, and Yom Kippurim, the Gabe fasting is a little bit less Chomer, of course, on Shabbos is no dinner fasting at all. But we're talking about the Issa Malacha on Yom Kippur is more kal than the Issa Malacha on Shabbos. Shabbos, if Chas V'Shalom, a person has Asra, is Skila. Yom Kippur, the maximum is Karis, which is also not very pleasant, but nevertheless, it's still not the Issa Skila. That being the case, Loi Koshkin, the Chavada Nevada, you should be able to go and bring Karbonos during that week, even when it coincides with Yom Kippur, because we're celebrating Yom, the Beis HaMikdash, Kedushas HaKedushas HaOlam. People that are bringing Karbonos, these are all deemed Karbonos Tzibur, because everybody's bringing it together, and Yom Kippur is a little bit lighter than Shabbos, so Avada Nevada. So Frank Timura, if that's the case, this Kal V'Chomer sounds so good. So what were they nervous about? They should have said, what we did was absolutely proper. Everything, well, I'll tell you why. Because Hossam, in the case of the Mishkan, Tzerech Kavoya, the rye that you brought was from that Korban Yachid of the Nasi. That Korban Yachid of the Nasi was brought for the Banishlai. Hacha Tzerech Hedjek. Here, when we're talking about the Kal Yisrael celebrated, they not only celebrated by bringing Karbanos, but they also ate and drank, and they had a Mishta, they had a Gansa, they had parties for 7 days prior to Sukkot, and then 7 days of Sukkot. So they were partying on Yom Kippur. Now, partying, eating and drinking is all very nice, covered the base of Middash, but it's still Yom Kippur today. So you don't have a raya for that from the fact that they brought the Karban Yochid of the Nesiim during the celebration of the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, what they could have done, and the reason why they were nervous was because they could have brought Karbanos, that's all fine, and they could have made celebrations, they could have clapped and danced and all the rest, but Mechel and Nechle V'loi Lishti, but they shouldn't have eaten and they shouldn't have drunk. And in that sense, they could have fasted and celebrated at the same time. And therefore, that's the reason why they were dayagin. But if that's the case, so ain't a chanami. So why taka did they eat and drink? Why didn't they refrain? So the Gemara says, ain't simcha b'le'achilu ishti. If you really want to have a real simcha, singing and dancing is all beautiful, but tachlis, you have to eat and drink something at the same time. And Shlomo HaMelech felt that this is such a great simcha for Klal Yisrael, that this is proper. So they had the Kal V'Chomer. You have a pirch on the Kal V'Chomer. It's taka true. That's why they were dayagin. But ultimately the decision was, yes, achilushtia, and as we'll see later, we have a raya from the pasuk that there was this bas koil that kulam mizuman l'chayu el mabah. But since we started talking about the Mishkan, the Gemara gets off on a tangent just for a moment. Oh, Mishkan, the Dachi Shabbos, how do we know that in fact there was a Dachia of Shabbos in the times of the Mishkan? Is it because you have every day of the 12 days, B'yom Rishon, B'yom Hashani, B'yom Shlishi, and B'yom Hashvi, and B'yom Hashvi therefore means Shabbos, and I believe Rashi brings in Chumash that the first day of Nisan coincided with Sunday, therefore B'yom Hashvi coincided with Shabbos. But even if it wouldn't have been, even if Rosh Chodesh came out Yichvais on Tuesday, then fine. So it wouldn't be B'yom Hashvi, the right would be B'yom Hamishi. In other words, since we're talking about 12 days, in 12 days he got two Shabbosim, well, Mechal Shabbos by bringing a Karban Yoch. You know, the big Karban Yochid on Shabbos is the chasimin that for celebrating the new Mishkan and ultimately the new Beis HaMikdash, it's permissible to be Mechal Shabbos. Frank Timura, or Mishkan, we just said that. Medelma Shvi LeKarbanos, who says V'yom HaShvi means the seventh day consecutive, sequential, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe it means the seventh day that you brought a Karban. In other words, assuming once again that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on Sunday, the sixth day of Nisan falls out on Friday, maybe Shabbos they all took a break, and then on Sunday, that was the B'yoyim HaShvi, that was the seventh day for Karbanos. It was the eighth day of Nisan, but it was the seventh day that you brought Karbanos, because you can't bring Karbanos Yochid on Shabbos. Amar Nachba Yitzchak Amakra, I have a riot, because when it comes to day number 11, it says B'yoyim Ashti Osir Yayim. So what is the problem with this pasuk? When you read the pasuk quickly, what means V'yom HaShvi Osir Yayim? Anybody have an idea what means V'yom HaShvi Osir Yayim?
11th day.
The 11th day. Notice, however, that it's not only the 11th day, it's the day of the 11th day. Because B'yoyim means day, and Yoyim means day. Why does the pasuk repeat it twice? It doesn't say B'yoyim HaRishon B'yoyim, it doesn't say U'V'yoyim HaShvi B'yoyim, but here it says B'yoyim HaShvi Osir Yayim. So why does it have to repeat the word Yoim two times? I'll tell you why. Because my Yoim kulei rotzif, just like a single day is 24 hours straight, it's ritzufim, it's consecutive. There are no breaks in the day between second and second, minute and minute, and hour, it's ritzuf. Afashi yasar, the 11 days are also kulun ritzufim, they're all one sequential day after day, consecutive, and therefore including yoim hashvi, which is Shabbos, so they did bring it on Shabbos. Tomorrow, what's the right? Maybe the pasuk is not talking about 11 days straight on the calendar. It means 11 days straight of days that you were able to bring karbanis. So it's true we left out Shabbos, but we immediately on Sunday. We left out the second Shabbos and immediately the next Sunday. So we made sure that we did a ritzufim on all those days which were qualified days, eligible days that you can go and bring karbanis. So you don't have a right. Says Yomar, you're right. Okay, let's put that on the side. Sivukrachrin, I have another pasuk and the same diuk again. Biyoim shneim oser yoim. Why is the word yoim repeated twice? My yoim kuliratzef afshna shneim oser yoim kuliratzufin. And of course, Yomar asks the same kasha. V'demahachanami yomar ruuyim. We don't mean 12 consecutive days on the calendar. We mean 12 days which are eligible to go and bring kabbalas. So vaiti, you don't have a raya. Says Yomarim kain trei kroi lamali. If that's the case, what do you need two psukim? Both the pasuk of the 11 days and the pasuk of the 12 days. Let it just say the extra word yoim once and not twice. Is the chasimin one pasuk tells you there are ritzufim. And the other pasuk tells you that ritzufim even on yomim she'enam ruuyim like on Shabbos Kodesh. Rabbi, you have a question?
No, I don't understand why the Gemara brings down first 11 then 12. They were 12 this year. So how the 11 comes in?
The Gemara is just bringing them ritzufim, starting from day 1 to day 2 to day 3 to day 4.
Sequential.
We're
talking about sequential.
Exactly. So once we reach sequential, since it says yoin twice, just like the whole day is sequential, 10 o'clock comes after 9 o'clock, comes after 8 o'clock, so day 7 comes after day 6 and after day 5.
Yeah.
Good. And by, maybe we skip Shabbos, that's why you have to do psukim, then we go on from 11, we go on to 12. If this would not have been sufficient, we'd have gone on to 13, but of course, we don't have 13 to see it. Anyway, so we continue on to the Gemara Yitzvayter. Mikdash Doichi Yom Kippur Minolon. How do you know that the Beis HaMikdash is Doichi Yom Kippur? That's a bissel shved. We just have this whole Kal V'chaimer. We are ready. We'll see. Ilim Mirachsev Arbo Aser Yoim V'dil Yom Haru'uyin. Oh, you're telling me that at the time of Yom Kippur, at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they quote-unquote violated Yom Kippur, and they had a Mishnah V'Simcha, 7 days straight, starting from the 8th day of Tishrei through the 14th day, including Yom Kippur. How do you know? Maybe, in fact, they skipped Yom Kippur. And the celebrations took place on Zion, Ches, and Tes, 3 days of Tishrei. Skip Yud, and then Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. So you have 3 plus 4, 7 days. So maybe it's Taka, it's not Doichi Yom Kippur. The Kal V'chaimer that we had before justified why they went and had a Mishnah V'Simcha on Yom Kippur. But how do you know historically that they had? Maybe on Kippur they taka skipped all the celebrations. They say, see Yom Kippur. We'll continue Mitzvah on Yud Aleph. So Yomara Nochamo Mikdash Doichi Yom Kippur Minol. Ilay Mirchsev Arba Asayoyim. It says 14 days. It's only Yom Haru Uyin. Same kash as before. It was taka 14 days, but the 14 days you have to add to that one more day of Yom Kippur because they were not. They were Ritzufim. You have to subtract, you have to leave out the days which are not roy. You can't go and have a Mishnah V'Simcha on Yom Kippur. Says Yomar Garmi Yoim Yoim Mehasam. I have a Gzeir Shava of Yoim Yoim. Here it said Yom Shnei Masa Yoim and Yom Ashti Yasa Yoim, which we said teaches us that even on Yom She'enem Reuyim. And here it says Abba Asar Yoim. This also includes Yom She'enem Reuyim. In other words, includes Yom Kippur. So to my right, the author of Basco, the Amalehem, Kulchem is a man of the Chay, Yoilam Abba, Freyti Mor Minolan, to Achelahu. We just learned that it's a Basco. But do we have a Pasuk which goes and incorporates this idea that Kodesh Baruch Hu sent out a message that everything is Mochel? So to my right, the Tani Dachlif, we have a Pasuk. And we go back to another Pasuk at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. It says in the Pasuk, B'yom HaShmini. Until now we talked about the 7 plus the 7, and now it's B'yom HaShmini, now it's the 8th day, 8th day now being on Shmini Atzeres. Shilach HaSa'om V'yivaruch HaSa'melech The king said, okay, Rabbi Sai, it was so great having you all here, it's beautiful, and I'm sending you home. They didn't leave that day. They left presumably on Matzah Yom Shemini. We'll see shortly. But nevertheless, he sent them all. And Vivorchus HaMelech, and they benched the Melech. And by the way, back in Masechtis Sukkah, when we learned that Shemini Atzeres is different than the rest of Yontif, the Pizar Kishav. Pizar Kishav, you remember, it was the Pious, and the Zman, and the Regel, and the Korban, and the Shir, and then the Beis. What was the Beis? So Rashi brought that the Beis is referring to Birchas HaMelech. That's the Birchas HaMelech, B'Yom HaShemini, and apparently this became now a custom every year that they said a special bracha for the king on Shemini Atzeres. All stamped, it stems from this passing. Vayuchlu aleihem, smeichem to veleiv, so the Klal Yisrael went home, back to their homes, to aleihem, smeichem, happy to veleiv, happy, al kol ha-toyv asher asa Hashem l'tovet avdoi ul Yisrael amai. So now the Gemara is going to darshan the second half of the pasuk, word by word. They vayechlo aleihem, what means aleihem, sheholchu umatzu nesheim b'tahara. They went home, and Baruch Hashem, all of their women were all tahirois. None of them were nidois or zavois, and therefore they were able to live with their women. So that was the simcha. Now, how do we know lo aleihem refers to that? We had that in the Gemara yesterday, 2 days ago, that Mitzvah, we're going to lay it tomorrow, that after Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, shuvu lecham l'aleichem, everybody go home to your oil, and the Gemara darshan, that means because they can live with their wives again, because for 3 days prior to Matan Torah, the shloshes may have a flogger where this was prohibited. So we see aleihem is a reference to going home and uniting with your wives. It says in the pasuk, "Vayich aleib smeichem." What's the smeichem? Shenenu miziv ashchina, that they were so happy that they had the benefit the shchina was with them those 7 days, the 14 days during the Beis Hamikdash, during the regel. And then it says afterwards, "Smeichem v'toyv aleif." What's toyv aleif? Shekolechem v'yachad nisabre ishtoy b'ben zocher. That night when they lived with their wives, Baruch Hashem, all the women became pregnant and all of them had boys at the end, ben zocher. When people learn these Gemaras, some people start getting agitated and say, and it's so terrible having in the cave. I mean, after all, the world couldn't exist only on boys and not on girls. And the same kasha they ask on other Gemaras, such as where it says, of course, the world needs to exist based on both males and females. But Ashrei Misha, one of the Zachorim, Oilo the Misha, one of the Nekevites. So that's it. Sounds terrible. And the answer is, the Mefarshim explained that the word Zohar and the Keva doesn't necessarily mean male and female. It means the role that they play in society. The Zohar, compared to the Keva, is, if you think about it, the Zohar is the Mashpia, and the Keva is the Mekabel. What does that mean? Because when there's Tasha Shemitah, when there's Bia, the husband is the one that is the mashpia. He's the one that shoots in the zera. And it's the woman, the wife, that's the mekabela. She takes it. And so therefore, when the Gemara says, Zohar, comparing it to Nekeva, say some of the mefarshim, Zohar means a leader, as opposed to a mekabel who is a follower. Every single army needs generals, and they need soldiers. But Ashrei Mi, that his children happen to be the generals of the army, and Oilei Lemi, that his children are only the nuchschleppers, the soldiers in the army. We need the soldiers, but isn't it much better to have the leaders and not just the followers? So therefore, you can learn this Gemara similarly, that everybody is happy that they have children that night, they became pregnant, the wives became pregnant, they're all going to have new leaders for Christ. Yeah, what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, what's going on there?
40 million more men.
40 million more men because they would infanticide, they'd kill the girls. Yeah. Now the men have nobody to marry.
No. And they're very xenophobic. They don't want to marry non-Chinese either.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's their problem. Baruch Hashem. Right. We don't have that issue. Anyway, so we get back to our Gemara. It says the Gemara, Al Kol HaToyva. What's the Toyva? Shiyotz in Basko V'yam Alaham. Kol HaMizman L'chayim Leba. Oh, so that's the textual source, what the Gemara said before. Al Kol HaToyva. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent out a message. You're all forgiven about the fact that you ate and drank on Yom Kippur. Now it says at the end of the pasuk, "I'll call the Tavisha Osa Hashem leDovid Avdu Yisrael Amay." That's the toy that Kodesh Baruch Hu did. That's the Baskoy. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moichel them. Where does David HaMelech fit into this? David HaMelech had already passed away. We're talking about Shlomo HaMelech. What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent up some message? He did a toyva for David. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring the Aron HaKodesh into the Beis HaMikdash. So the various gates in the Beis HaMikdash went and attached to each other, and they wouldn't allow them to be open. So they were banging and pulling and pushing. So Nishki Gang, and they weren't able to get in. Om Shlomo, Esrim V'Arba Renonis. Shlomo HaMelech said 24 Renonis. Renonis, says Rashi, means 24 different Lishoinois Oysfila. You have Rina, Tchina, Tfila, Bakosha. It's all brought in Melachim Aleph Ches, where this whole sugya is. In Malachim, there it says he expressed 24 different forms of tefillah and bakasha. V'leinena, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Aloy mitan aleph. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm not opening up. Pasuk v'yom, and then he started saying, Shushar v'sheichim and also pischayol v'yelim melech hakoveh. V'leinena, still the she'arim would not open up. They remained close. Kim and she'om Hashem alekim al toshik p'nei mishichecha. Zochor le'chastei dovet avdecha. Remember David HaMelech, miyad nana. Immediately all the she'arim opened up and they were able to bring the Aron HaKodesh in. At that time, nepchu p'nei soinei David, all those adversaries of David HaMelech that were criticizing David HaMelech, all their faces now turned black. Kishulei k'deira, like the bottom of the pot, where it's full of soot from the blackness from the fire. V'yodu HaKoyle, now everybody in Klal Yisrael saw with their own eyes. Shemachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oysel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zmoichel David HaMelech, on the mass of Uriah HaChiti, Mit Basheva, Medigam Tzemas. Okay. I'm sorry? Yes, David.
My question is about doing Zerah Shava from Torah and Navi.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When do you do Zerah Shava from language of the Navi?
In the normal circumstance, we don't. Here, the Gemara is telling when you don't learn Gezeir Shabbos, it's usually for purposes of paskening a halacha. Here, we're going and just saying, at that time, how do we know that the 14 days were consistent or consecutive, as opposed to having a hole in those days? So it's more just like we find the word yoim over here. The yoim in the Torah that it was consecutive, so the assumption is that the yoim over there is also consecutive. So, if we wanted to learn from Gezeirah Shava, from Torah to Nach, or Nach to Torah, Halacha L'maisa, going forward today and tomorrow and next year, etc., that would be problematic. But now we're really learning more history from what happened at that time. How do I know that the days at that time were consecutive? Maybe, in fact, they were broken. Then they excluded the non-eligible days. Kamash Malan, and learn Yoyim from Yoyim that they were the same type of Yomim Ritzufim, even including Yom She'enim Ruli. Now you can put two dots over here because we're starting an Ishtikal Nus Sugya. We're going to come back a little bit to what we were talking about, and that's why you'll see what the Hemshech HaDvarim is. But anyway, the Gemara tells us now a story. Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, these two Choshaviyin, were Tanu Parashas Nedarim Beit Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. They were learning not Parashas, but Rashi says Mesechtas Nedarim. Whoever has learned Mesechtas Nedarim knows it's not an easy Mesechta. In fact, 99% of it is learning the Ran, as opposed to learning the Gemara. Anyway, so they learned it in the Yeshiva Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Ifter Minei Ba'arta, it was at the end of the Zman, and in the evening they said goodbye, and they said, Rebbe, it was nice having you, and Mitchum will be back next Zman, and we wish you a good Yontif and all the rest. The Tzaf, and the next morning, how did it become Ifter Minei? They came back again, once again, to say goodbye. Amalhu v'lav difterisu mini barta. You already said farewell last night. Why do you have to repeat it again this morning? Amrulei l'matan rabbeinu. You taught us. Talmud sheniftamei rabbi. V'lon v'oisoir tzarach lipati mimenu pam acheres. That a Talmud who said goodbye to his rabbi v'lon v'oisoir, but he didn't leave immediately, but he stayed overnight. He has to once again say goodbye to his rabbi the next day. And since we stayed, so we're saying goodbye once again. Now, how do I know? Shenem b'yem ha'shmini shilach esom vayivoruchu es ha'melech. So that was the pasuk that we brought before the shmini atzeres. Uksiv b'yoyim esom u'shloi shelachoidish ha'shvi shilach esom. Now, the yem ha'shmini, that comes out on the 22nd day of of Tishrei, 23 is already Isru Chag. So why does it say that Shilich Zom Vivoruch HaSamelech on both Yom HaShmini, which is the 22nd day, as well as the next day on the 23rd day, Shilach HaSa'am. I mean, the Om can only go away one time. It says both Yom HaShmini Shilach HaSa'am, that's day 22. And then it says 23 Shilach HaSa'am, that's 23. Hell, let me count. Tam et nistam et aviv, l'mbay se'ir, tzarech lipot imenu pam achers, and that's why we came by to go and say goodbye yet a second time. So now, after they left, Omalei Lebrei, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai calls over his son, presumably Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and he says, "Bnei Adam Halalu, these two Choshev Yidin that just left us, Anoshim Shulturahem, they are very Choshev." Rashi said that they were Talmid Chacham, they were scholars, and so therefore it would be Kedai Zil Gabeim Delevarchuch, go run after them that they should go and give you a bracha. Ozal, he went. The son of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Achachinu, and he saw that these two Choshevin, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai and Rehuda ben Geirim, the Karami Krayadari. What do you think they were talking about? I think they were talking about politics, met the Knicks, met the Yankees. They were traveling together, and they were talking about Psukim. And what did they say? Except in one post it says, Palais Magl Raglecha, V'chod Rechecha Yikoinu. Except there's another pasuk, Oyrechaim Pentefales. The word Peles means either to weigh or to use a scale, which of course is the same thing. When you put something on the scale, you weigh it. So what the Pasuk is telling us in Mishlei, Pales Magil Raglecha, the ways that you are traveling, that you're going, Pales, weigh what you are doing, then all your drachim should all be straight and established. The other Pasuk says, No. Don't start weighing every single move that you do when you're traveling. So the first pasuk says, "Palais, you should weigh them." Second pasuk says, "You shouldn't weigh them." Make up your mind. What does all of this mean? Let's look at the last two Rashi's here on the bottom of the Amid. Three Rashi's, about 8 lines at the bottom. Palais magaraglecha kloimar shekoil mitzvois. Take the mitzvahs and weigh them. V'ayin behen, and go and analyze them. Eizem mitzvah gdoila v'asei hagdoila. In other words, if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, a big one and a small one, weigh them and don't go and do the big mitzvah. Uksib oyrechaim pentefalis the mashma kol mitzvah shetova liyodcha asei oisa ben gedoila ben katana. Don't discriminate or distinguish. Do all mitzvahs. Maltaniach katana b'nei gdoila. So that means the oyrechaim pentefalis. Pen is like the Russian of pen, the al. Don't be mefalis, don't weigh them. Do all mitzvahs. So now, first pasuk says, weigh the mitzvahs that you do and choose between them. Take the gedoyla, not the ktan. That's, of course, a very difficult concept because in the Pirkei Avos it says, you're not supposed to, because we don't know the schar mitzvah, we don't know which is big. Right. All of that is true. But the Gemara says, and based on the first pasuk, palais, you're supposed to go and weigh the mitzvahs and do the big one. The second pasuk says, no, pentavala, no. Do everything. Do the big and the small. So what's the answer? So the answer is, Dr. Rashi, mitzvah she'ef shal asoysi de'echenim, tefales, peles ma'agav raglecha, shetasa ato hagdoyla, v'chaveiracha yasutana. You have two mitzvahs in front of you. You have someone else that can do the other mitzvah. You choose which one you think is the greater one, the bigger one, and let the other one do the smaller one. How would you judge which was bigger or smaller? But that's what the Gemara says. If it's a mitzvah efta, so it's idea cherim. So since you have somebody else with you, you choose one and you give the other one the other one. That's the palais, that's the weighing of the mitzvah. There's nobody else. You are the only guy on the scene. Then you have to do both of them. Then you do Ben Gedoyla, Ubein Ketana. And now they have another kasha. Ksiva says in the pasuk, Yikarim Epninim, referring to Limud HaTorah, that Torah is so yakar, it is so precious, it's even more precious than the most precious pearls. And anything that you want to do, all your possessions and all your desires, and anything, nothing compares to the Heilige Torah. Your own personal chafetzim lo yeshuva cannot compare. Chafetz shemayim yeshuva. That's not chafetzecha. That's chafetz shemayim. That is comparable. Uksiv. They have another pasuk. Kol chafetzim lo yeshuva. Any type of chafetzim. Meaning, there's nothing in the world that can possibly get close to the Torah. That's mashrafil chafetz shemayim lo yeshuva. So don't we have a siras of psukim? First pasuk sounds like Chatzi Shemayim are Yishvuba. Second one is no, lo Yishvuba. Everything one the same terms again. Kam mitzvah sheefshal soiza deachirim. Kam mitzvah sheefshal soiza ayidei achirim. Which means if you have two mitzvahs to do, one is limud haTorah and one is another mitzvah. If you're the only guy on the scene, then you got to do both. And if there is a time element, then push the learning for later and do the other mitzvah. In other words, you have to put on tefillin in the morning. You can't say, well, okay, I don't have time now. I have to learn. I'll put on my tefillin at night. There's a time element involved. So therefore, then, kol chafetzech l'yishvuba, b'chafetzi shemayim yishvuba. The putting on a tefillin, doing another mitzvah, is similar, comparable to learning Torah. So you gotta do it. And you'll learn afterwards.
What about hosting a mitzvah, put them in a mitzvah?
In the case where you're not hosting a mitzvah, the person has the two mitzvahs in front of him, which one should I do? Nobody else can do the other mitzvah for me. Then you have to go and do the one that's more timely now, because it's mat over, and then you do the other mitzvah afterwards. And the other pasuk that says "Kafetzim liyishvuba," that fill chafetz shemayim liyishvuba, is talking about a case where the mitzvah is ef shlasoyse deichem. You got to do both of them. So then you got to do both. Let's see quickly. Rashi, so Rashi, second line from the top. Chafetzech liyishvuba shetivato kol chafetzech b'shvil shetasu b'toyra. Put aside everything else and go and learn. Chafetz shemayim liyishvuba kaloyma shemayish lachalasik the mitzvah. If you have another mitzvah that you have to do. Not that he's already oisik. Yesh lecha la'asoik to batal talmud to rasoik b'mitzvah. You have to do a chesed. You have to do a
Megillah.
Exactly. Now the next Rashi. The afilu chafetz shemayim loy. From the second pasuk is mashik kol chafetz from everything. Afilu chafetz shemayim loy. The mevatal mitzvah v'oisim b'talmud Torah. You should be mevatal every other mitzvah. Don't go into Megillah learning and don't do the chesed. But learn Torah. So says this is a shver. So that's what he wants. Answer. It depends whether if the other mitzvah can be accomplished by somebody else. Then, kol chafetzecha leyishvuba, even chafetz shemayim leyishvuba. Learn Torah, let the other person do the chesed, let the other person run and do this, that, the other thing. Masha'enkein, if it's the type of thing that there's nobody else around, then I gotta do both. Then, chafetz shemayim yishvuba, you have to do that other mitzvah, even though it stares you from learning Torah. So now, after these posts of these intense discussions about the Stira Sapsukim, they noticed, oh, who's this Ingle over here? That's, of course, the son of Shimba Yichoi, presumably her blood with Shimon. Right. And they asked, Omer Lai, my boy, what are you doing here? Omer Lahudi, Omer Li Abba, Tata told me, Zilga Vayigal Barachucha, I'm coming here for a bracha. Omer Lai, fine, we'll give you a bracha. Now we're going to read the bracha, and on the surface, the bracha doesn't sound like such a great bracha. Omulei yehi rava yehi ratzoin shetizra that you should go and plant v'leitechotzed but you should not reap you should not harvest the ayil you should bring in v'leitefik but you shouldn't take out tefik you should take out v'leiteayil but you shouldn't bring in lecher beischo yubayi should be choriv chas v'shalom v'leitev u'shpizach but you're in that should remain be yishuv that should remain good. Leval psarcha, your table at home should have a bilbul, it should all be confused, it should all be tamished. And you shouldn't see a new year. This doesn't sound so hot. When he came back to his father, Amalei said the son to Reb Shimba Yichoy, not only didn't give me a bracha, they gave me these terrible clothes, Rachman al-Islam, it's terrible. I should go and plant and I shouldn't be able to harvest. I shouldn't see a new year. Amr Lay, so the Tata said to his son, my Amr Lach, let's hear, what did they tell you? Hachi v'hachi Amr Lay, and he repeated word for word, like we said. Amr Lay, hanach kulim brachasininu, you don't understand what they're saying, these are all brachais. And now he interprets every one of the things that they said, libracha. For instance, tizrav leitechzad, that you should plant and you shouldn't go and harvest. That means tulid bonim, you should be zoicha to plant, in other words, to get married and to have children. That's those are the plants. V'lo yamusu, and they shouldn't go and pass away. You shouldn't have to go and dig out a grave chas v'shalom for them. They should remain for many, many, many years. So you shouldn't have to chas v'shalom cut them short. You shouldn't have to harvest. They should continue going. That's what he meant. Ta'ayv le'tefik. What does that mean? Ta'ayv, you should bring in kalsa, bring in daughters-in-law. V'le lemusu benoch, and your children, your sons, should chas v'shalom not pass away. To live good. Because if your sons pass away, what is your daughter-in-law going to do? She's going to leave your vicinity, your home, and she's going to go back to her parents. She's going to go back to her mother. So that's what he meant. Ta'ayv, bring in your new daughter-in-law. v'loy teifek, and they shouldn't go away because your son should be marachyam. What means teifek v'loy ta'ayil? Toilet bansa, your daughters should give birth, v'loy yemusak of rayu, and their husbands shouldn't pass away, for the hadrach levaseich, because then they're going to return to you. So in other words, when you have a daughter, you're happy that she accompanies her husband and moves out, so to speak. Teifek, they should move out, but she shouldn't return, that their husband should live long lives, and therefore she should remain with her husband, not coming back to your house. Lech rebeischa v'leisim ushpizach, your home should become chorev, and your shpizah should last. V'hai alma ushpizach, they meant that this world's home where you live, that's your ushpizah, and ushpizah, an inn, is like a hotel. It's only a temporary, but nobody lives in a hotel forever. You only go there from time to time, and therefore it's a temporary abode. That temporary abode is high alma, where you live today in this world, oylam hazeh, that's only temporary. But he alma, but the other world is beisa, that's your real bias. Now what bias are we talking about in the next world? We're talking about not after Mashiach, we're talking about after a person passes away, where his grave, his kever, becomes his final resting place, his final bias. Because it's in the pasuk, kirbam batemo li'olam, al tikri kirbam ele kivorum, that the kever is batemo, is their future final bias. And therefore, that's what he's telling us. He's saying is that the grave, that should be charev. It should be empty for another 50, 100 years, 120 years. You should be marach yom vishanim. You shouldn't need that kever. And instead, your ishpizi, your temporary abode, your house where you live here in Boilam Hazeh, that should be a yishuv. You should live there for many, many years, mit gesund, with many, many years of good health. The valva psarcha, that your table should be mavulbul. What is that talking about? But bani abansa, you should have boys and girls and children and eimiklach all running around the middle of the Suda, causing you and your wife all types of headaches. Can't you sit down for a moment and eat a piece of fish? Eat your challah, don't run around. No, the bracha is that, Baruch Hashem, you have that problem. How many families would want to have children running around at home and causing all types of commotion and noise in the middle of the Suda? You shouldn't see a new year. What does that mean? We know it says in the pasuk that if there is a milchama, says ki yikach ish isha chadasha lo yetze batzava, no ki yil aveisei shana echos. He should stay at home for that full first year and not move anywhere else. In other words, he shouldn't join the military. He shouldn't be part of the milchama. Noki elevei shona echas for the first year. After the first year, then already, if there's a war, then chas v'shalom he has to join as a soldier, etc. Ah, so what do we see? That the word shona echas is a term that reminds us of being married. So that's what he's saying. Your first zivig with whom you're married should last many, 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 many years, so that you shouldn't have to have a new shana echos. That's what he means. You shouldn't go and see a new first year of marriage. That your wife should not pass away. You shouldn't have to go marry a second wife. So as we see, even though on the surface it did not look like brachas, the way Reb Shimon Yehoi interpreted them, we see how much chachma and how much of a bracha each one was.
Why give a bracha in such a reverse way?
Because the Baruch Hu wanted us to be oisik and learn Torah another 5 minutes, otherwise we could have closed the Gemara 5 minutes ago. And we continue on the next story. He was saying goodbye to Rav. So he said to him, not Avua, but really Bray, he's saying to his son, Reb Shimon Chalafta, saying to his son, go to Rav for a bracha. So he goes to Rav, it should be the Ratzon Hashem, you should never be ashamed and you should not humiliate others. So now the son comes back to the father, to Reb Shimon Chalafta, and he asks him, what bracha did he give you? He just told me, you know, just words. It didn't sound like a grace of bracha. Don't be embarrassed. Don't embarrass others. Amalei baruchach birchasah. The birchan kutchim brichal Yisrael. He gave you a gevaldi of bracha. The bracha that kutchim brichal gave to Klal Yisrael. V'tanaba. And it was repeated. Chassim says, V'chaltem chaltem ochel v'savoya. V'ilaltem. V'lo yevoyshe ami v'oylam. V'idatem v'kibra kerev Yisrael. Oni. And again, the pasuk repeats, V'lo yevoyshe ami v'oylam. We don't have the, at least my Gemara doesn't have the Torah or a Shalem, but if you look up the psukim in Yoel, you see the two psukim in a row. Both of them have the word v'liyavoyshu ami li'olam. In the second pasuk again, v'liyavoyshu ami li'olam. And therefore, what is it coming to tell us? That you have this double, you have that? You want me to read from it?
Yeah.
Okay. We will read it. Look the pasuk. V'achaltem ochel b'savoya v'ilaltem Hashem Hashem alekeichem asher osa imochem lahafli v'leyavoyshu ami la'olam. Next pasuk. V'idatem ki b'kerv Yisrael oni v'ani Hashem alekeichem v'ein oid v'leyavoyshu ami la'olam. That's Yoel Beis, Psukim Chavov and Chavzayim. Thank you, Brother Shai.
We say V'itul
Yeah, very good. Anyway, so we have the two v'leyavoyshu ami la'olam. So what does that come to tell you? Says Rashi, the reason why it's repeated is to come to tell you, you shouldn't go and embarrass others, so that ultimately you should not be embarrassed. A lot of people, if somebody did some mistake, and then the next day he makes the same mistake, and now people are laughing at him. And so therefore, be careful before you embarrass others, because it might come back to shame you as well. So that's a big bracha. Don't shame, and you won't be ashamed. Zokti Morabai, let's go back to the Mishnah. That it comes, Chalamoid Va'isi Isha Tachshita, a woman is allowed to go make her Tachshitim. We think of Tachshitim as being ornaments, but really Tachshitim also means to shmir, that is, cosmetics. And women are allowed to do cosmetics on Chalamoid. Oh, but it said in our Mishnah, make sure not to go and put on a certain type of Sarak, because seaside, because that could cause nivel. Well, we'll see that in another few lines. It's talking about a little bit of Alain Tachshite Noshim. Give me examples of cosmetics that women can put on during Chol HaMoed. Koicheles, that's eye makeup. Poikesis, Rashi says, means to go and part the hair, to do something with her hair. Umavira, here it says Srak, on the side also says Srak, but with a sin instead of with a samach. Srak al Paneh, to put on such makeup on your face. Nikiriyami others say, Maveris Srak al Paneh shel mata, means to go put makeup down below, meaning a hair depilatory, so that there won't be hair down below. The Nisad Rav Chizda Mekashta Bianpe Kaltzer. The wife of Rav Chizda was adorning herself, she was smearing in front of her daughter-in-law. Yosef Rav Huna Bar Chinna Kamid Rav Chizda Yosef Ka'omar Loishonu Ela Yalda Alvizkein Eloi. When it said in our Mishnah that women are allowed to go and smear themselves on Chol HaMoed, we're talking about young ladies. But you're talking about over here, Tibisu, the wife of Rav Chizda, she presumably was already an older woman.
A senior citizen.
Does she really need to go and say, come on, Chol HaMoed, what do you have to wear? I swear in the name of Hashem. Even your mother. Even your grandmother. Even if she's only a day before her kever. Women of all ages, they all need and want to go and put on cosmetics. Mutalach, even she's 101 years old, 119 years old, women are permitted to put on cosmetics on Chol HaMoed. Why? Dama Inchi, people have an expression. Bashitim kibashis, lekal tavla riata. This is an expression that a 60-year-old woman is like a 6-year-old girl. Lekal tavla, when they hear the bells ringing, riata, they run. They want the excitement. They want to go and see what's going on. There's a chasana, a late, and a music. She's already 60 years old. Come on, you're already too old for that. Never too old. So just like when it comes to the music, it's never too old. For the cosmetics, never too old. They will always want to wear cosmetics, no matter how old they are. In other words, sit over here. Sid usually is lime. Here we don't mean lime in the construction industry sense. We mean to go and put on such a paste on one's face or on one's body to remove the unwanted hair. Why shouldn't she do that? Because it looks terrible and it smells terrible. And nobody, no woman, wants to put on nice cosmetics to go and tell her she's allowed to go and put in this hair depilatory. She looks bad and it smells bad. Rabbi Yehuda, however, agrees that if this is a quick working sit, not something that you have to leave on your body for 5 days, but you can go and take it off in 10 minutes, oh, that's okay. Why? Because although momentarily she has this nivel, but after she removes it, maybe the next day, or the 2 days later, whatever, she's going to have a tremendous simcha. So therefore, you don't look at the short-term pain, you look at the long-term benefit and simcha, that in a day or two or three, everything is going to be great. But if she's only going to have that simcha after the moed, after Yom Tov, then...
Chachana for after the moed.
Exactly, like from moed to chol. Right, you want me to say, Rabbi Yehuda, high svara, does Rabbi Yehuda really agree to that svara, that we don't look at the short-term pain, but we look at the long-term result? But now we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, in the front of my hand, that Nesha Meitzah, This is a Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. In fact, it's the very beginning of Masechtas Avodah Zarah, that you're supposed to refrain from certain monetary transactions with Goyim right before their Chagim, before their holidays. And the reason is because we don't want them to go into their churches and go and say to Yoizel or to whoever they're praying, and they say, oh, we thank you, Yoizel, you're such a wonderful God, blah, blah, blah. So, among the things that you are not allowed to do is to have sales and monies paid for loans and this and that. So Rabbi Yehuda is in the front of my hand, you are allowed to have them pay you back on a loan on their chag or a day or two before. Neshemetzer, he doesn't have a simcha, he's only very upset. Nebuch, until now he had $1,000 in his pocket, he just paid the Jew $1,000 to pay off a debt. Oh, he feels and he says, oh, you know, my bank account is $1,000 less. So this is permissible, he doesn't have a simcha. The opposite, he had pain. Omrle the Chum said to Rabbi Yehuda, we disagree. Alva b'shemeitzer achshav, even though momentarily he's upset, b'samechu l'achers man, but after that he's very, very happy. Baruch Hashem, one less Jew that I have to deal with. I don't have that debtor Jew. He's going to charge me interest. Baruch Hashem, he's so happy. Not the debtor, the creditor Jew. So therefore, it's a simcha, and therefore you're not allowed to be nifra right before or on their chagim, on their holidays. So what do we see from this? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that, and he looks at what's going on now he has pain. Yeah, later on there'll be a simcha. So the same thing should apply to the Isha B'chalamayit. If now she has pain, even though she's going to have simcha later on, but now she has pain, it should be prohibited. And you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda he's moide besit shechoy lekaploi, that she can do it because of the simcha afterwards. Everything tomorrow. Don't ask me a kasha b'chalamoid. All of the things which are permitted to do in chalamoid, Rashi gives examples, for instance, of cooking and baking in the kitchen and doing those types of things. Yeah, there are some women that love to cook and love to bake, but you have to bear in mind, it is a tircha. They do have to go and clean the chickens, and they do have to go and mix the batter for the cakes or for the challis or the matzahs or whatever it is. So it's a big tircha. Why is it permitted on Yontif and certainly on Cholam Moed? Because you have the simcha li'achazman. It's not the simcha b'shas, you're doing the cooking and the baking, but you know that after it's cooked and baked, you'll be able to go and make asudah shomalachim, and everybody will go and comment, oh, how delicious something. Wow, Mrs. Smith, this is really great. I haven't had a meal like this in years. So the simcha lachman, and of course she also partakes in the simcha too, that she's going to eat from the meals. Anyway, so the point is, that's the whole nature of malacha on chalamayit. So here too, she's allowed a shmir now, even though now it's painful, but in 6 hours or next day, she'll take it off and she'll be so happy. Ravina Omar. Kusi l'inyan teroin lo'ila meitzah. I have a new teret. If you're talking about a kusi or you're talking about a goy, this might be from the censor, it's a goy, he's always upset. Why is he always upset? Explains Rashi. You're telling me that if he pays off the debt now, he's going to be happy later on. Baruch Hashem, I don't have to pay the debt. No, he's going to continue to be upset. Because he was hoping that on the maturity date or thereafter, he's going to go over to the Jew and try to extend it for another 30 days, for another 60 days. He'll dray him a cup and he'll say, I can't, I don't have the money now. He'll come back in a year from now, let's extend it for another 5 years. And so he was hoping all along that he'll never have to go and pay. So the fact that he paid now, that is a meitzer loy. It's not that he has a simcha achazman. He'll continue to be upset. Oh, that Jew, they took my money back.
I wasn't able to get out of paying him.
Exactly. Amr of Yehuda. The noise is so shegil a pirkan. If you have a young girl, shegil a pirkan, shegil a shanim. That means that they're almost 12 years old, but not yet. They're only 10 or 11. And however, they are physically mature, that they started growing hairs on their bodies. And they're embarrassed about that, because they're still so young, and they're not 12 years old yet. They would remove it by putting on the sid that we were talking about. Ashiras, those that are a little bit wealthier, they didn't use sid, but they used soilis, a nice, wonderful powder made out of soilis, out of grain, out of
fine flour.
Benois Malachim, b'shem and amar. The Benois Malachim, they put on shem and amar, which obviously much, much more expensive. Shem and amar, like we find the Esther Malka. My shem and amar, what means shem and amar? Avuna barchia, amar stakis. I think is balsam oil, if I'm not mistaken. Ravir and varami, amar shem and zayis, lehevi shlish. That's shem and zayis, that was not, they did not grow, the zaysim didn't grow to their full potential. After a third of their growth, they were harvested, and then you squeezed out the shemen. So that's called this shemen amar. Tanya b'yudah imar, and fiknin shemen zay shaloi hei vishlish. this tikkun that the Gemara is bringing is from Maseches Menachos. When Maseches Menachos, it says that when you use shemen for purposes of your carbon mincha, don't go and use afiknoin. So the question is, what's I'm afiknoin? So Marcel afiknoin means shemazai shlehei bishlish. Why do women use this shemazai shlehei bishlish? Shemesher es haseyar u'ma'adin es habasar, because it removes the hair and it makes the basar, the skin, much more pleasant, much more...
It glows.
Ah, it glows. Great. That's why the women put on all these creams, these skin creams. It makes it all nice and beautiful and gebalik. So, Gemara, Rabibi Havalei Brata Tfeila, I'm sorry, Havalei Brata, Rabibi had a daughter, and she had hair growth. Tofla Aver Aver. He would remove from her, limb by limb, all of the hair growth by putting on either the Sid or the Solis or the Shemen Amor. I don't know how wealthy Rabibi was, but whatever, he went and put on this Shmirach Aver by Aver, and then after that she glowed so beautifully that when it came time for Chasana, Shokel Ba Dalin Meyazuzi, instead of he having to go and pay a dowry for the Kala, he got from the Chusin a huge dowry of 400 zuz. That's how beautiful she was. Havahukusi Bishivuse, there was a guy that lived in the same Shechenus, in the same neighborhood, and Havli Brati also had a daughter, and he heard what Rabibi did, and he said, that's so brilliant! And he did the same thing, except for, instead of Tofla Eva Eber, Tofla B'chad Zidla, he went and did the entire hair depilatory all at one time, like an acid over the entire body, and Nebuch Humeis and Nebuch, she passed away. And what do you think the guy did? Of course the Jew did it. Rabibi went and killed my daughter because I made the mistake of Tofla B'chad Zidla. Anyway, do we have this minhag that we all go and shmir the daughters to remove the hair? Amram Nachman, Rabibi the Shosi Shechra, Rabibi that drank a lot of beer, Bayin Banse Tafla. Apparently he is saying that medically, the drinking of the beer by the father, that causes a change in the DNA of the daughter. And therefore, Bayin Banse Tafla, that's why the daughter needed all of this removal of the hair. Anandali Shasinan Shechra, we that don't drink so much beer. Like Bayin Bantina, we don't need to go and go to these extremes because they don't have this extra growth of hair because we don't drink so much beer. And therefore, we don't need that.
Yeah, but did they get 400 zuz for the daughter?
Right question. That's a very good question. Have a wonderful day. Good Shabbos, everyone.